Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear once again. I am Martin, and I'm joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, it's not just you and me here. There's somebody of actual importance.
That's right. We are traveling. We are traveling across the world to Tel Aviv, Israel, where we bring you blues guitarist Andy Watts. Andy, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you on. Happy to talk about Super Groove. Got released at the end of September of last year. So, tell us about it first.
Well, Super Groove was a natural follow-up of my previous release in 2018, Blues on Fire, which, by the way, is the name of my R&B show these days. It's a big show. It's a nine-piece band that I'm taking live. So I always was striving for a big sound, and the big sound I had on Blues on Fire, I wanted to take with me on Super Groove to follow up. I really emphasize on this album to give a big sound, try to utilize the horn section, give space to my fellow musicians, and try to make an album that whatever you hear on the album, that's what you will hear live. Yes, with a bit more spark, of course, when you see us. And that was the intention. And on the album, you have five songs written by me, mixed with five covers. And I try to avoid to do copy-paste when I do covers, try to give a bit of a spice of my own attitude, my own vision for the song, even if, of course, you have to stay true to the original.
What I loved about the album and kind of caught me off guard was just how hard rocking the songs are. I mean, you set a blistering pace while you're playing the blues.
Well, thanks for saying that, because it's like Hendrix said, you don't really like to be put in a box. You write blues and you put me in that box. I love blues. I like rock too. And I think one of the things for the blues these days, it's not at the crossroad, but I think one way for attracting a wider audience for the blues, a younger audience, you may say, is to widen the perspective what blues is really. Blues is everything. It's the root for many things. And this album is based on blues, obviously, blues rock, rock and roll, psychedelic, funk, soul, jazzy, and I tried to mix all that up and have it flow in the music. And obviously the tab track, Super Groove, is kicking the thing off. I mean, that's how I would normally kick off a live show. I mean, fasten your seatbelts, because now it's showtime. And that song was very much influenced by the great and late bluesman Johnny Winter, from Texas, of course, Texas bluesman Johnny Winter, Freddie King, Albert Collins, who started out the career being instrumentalist, but they're all great vocalists, you know. So that I had that in mind, and the rest of the songs, the flow of the album, I would like the songs to be in order to have a pleasant ride, because many people listen to music in their cars, you know.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in, I mean, you talk about your band, like, how is it that you do, like, the arrangements, especially when it comes to horns and that kind of thing, and get those added into the songs? Is that in your mind, or do you go to the band?
Well, thank you for mentioning that, and I'm extremely fortunate to have good musicians with me. The good touch base with each other, picking up a six string, listening to blues on the radio and rock and roll, obviously. I never studied. I don't read music. It works for me. I probably break all the rules there are in music. However, I do have people that know if you put a chart in front of me, you put this way, the other way, it's the same for me. I can't read it. However, when you do arrangement, I hear what I want it to be. So I have the horn section, I'm the keyboardist, the baritone saxophonist, Jerome Linker. We are working it out to see how it will be tasteful and how it will suit the music. Because to perform live with a B3 Hammond and a trumpet, baritone, saxophone, and a trombone as a wall behind you, I can paint with my guitar. I can play whatever I want, and it's just a great experience.
So how did you begin then? Or did you just one day stumble upon a guitar? Did somebody give it to you when you were young? How did your journey start?
listening to, I actually started, wanted to play drums, but my mother was not very impressed with that. So when I still wanted to play rock and roll, you have to get you have things in your system, you take it out. Because to play guitarist where I am today, for example, if I see where I am at today, is having the vision, having the vibe and all this music in you, and you just have to find a way to transcend it and get it through the fretboard and out. And that's the whole thing. And that was my attitude from the beginning, because I had a friend of mine that when I picked up a six string, they showed me the basic chords. And, you know, I worked it out myself. I never took lessons. I never studied. I don't read music. As I said, I worked it out, you know, and somehow it was a bit awkward. I used to play in different tunings to drive my fellow musicians crazy. It became a bit complicated. I prefer always to play in E flat, half a tone lower, play big, thick strings, you know, to get a big sound. And because of the horn section, I have returned to play in standard tuning, for example.
How is it that you discovered, you know, just like when you talk about the big, thick strings and that kind of thing, was that something that just along the way you talked to somebody? Did you just be like, were you just in a store like, there's strings like this, I'll try some of these?
Yeah, you know, you listen to a lot of guys. You listen to Peter Green is a big influence for me. He was born with his natural, less is more. You know, it's not the amount that you play, it's the soulfulness and the space in between the notes that gives you this music, this pacing. You can play fast when you're furious. You can crank to 11 on your amp, but you still have to give some space. You still have to see what you're playing. Having said that, I don't sing before the shows and try to remember what I'm going to play. When I go up on the stage, I never play a solo the same, never, ever. I mean, there are some things in the song you got to play. The energy of the venue, the energy of the band, of the crowd, everything happened. That is going to be the musical path for me that I'm following when I'm playing. However, when you're looking at sound, sure, I've always been obsessed since very young to achieve a big sound. I think sound is something so essential when you play, because you must have a sound. You start from there, and then you can start worrying what you're going to play. But make sure that you have a good sound and a good attitude when you're playing. So, sure, I mean, I was listening to a lot of blues players, Clapton, B.B. King, Albert King, love Stevie Ray. And I realized by reading some guitar magazine that you have to find your own way, something that suits you. There are some great guitar players that use very light strings that have a good sound. You have Stevie Ray, who used to glue his fingertips with super glue using very heavy strings. But, you know, I think beauty is in the ear of the beholder. What works for you, that's what you should do.
When it comes down to, I mean, I know on the Blues on Fire album, you cover Stevie Ray. And what's it like to cover these songs, especially when you talk about, I mean, these are amazing artists. So like, do you feel like a sense of like, I guess, history and trying to make it something, you know, close to as good? Or do you just want to be like, oh, I'm going to put my own spin because I love the song, just so that I can tell a story too?
I think once on a lot of these classic tones, if you're referring to Riviera Paradise and Blues on Fire, it's a very emotional song. It's something that makes me warm inside. Me as a musician, I didn't want to come up to try to outshine Stevie Ray, because I think, you know, you can't do that. But you can come and say, I want to pay my respect to you. I think you made a beautiful piece of music to put my own stamp on it, and I'm going to bring a different ambience to it. And I think if I look on Riviera Paradise specifically, I think the vibe with the trumpet and with the piano and that arrangement we did there came out really cool, if I may say so. And that was the same attitude I used on Supergroup with my tribute. And unfortunately, pretty close to the day that I released the album, the great and late Peter Green died, rest in peace. And I've always been very much influenced by his playing, and I of course, made a tribute to him by playing Supernatural, which is a very deep song for me because it's not to show off on guitar when you play. You have to be in the state of mind when you play Supernatural. You have to go in and be in the zone because it's the sustain of the notes. It's the position of the guitar to the amp to get a clean and sustained note and try to say something without overplaying. And on Supernatural, I decided again to add a trumpet and to add a B3 Hammond just to give a different vibe to it.
Now, of course, you said that you have the five songs that are yours and five songs that are the covers. I mean, honestly, like my two favorite songs, I think, are yours. I love Straight Shooting Woman and Burning Deep. I think both are so good. And of course, different vocalists, which, you know, maybe tell us about getting some of the vocalists. I mean, talk about Joe Louis Walker, like awesome.
Well, you see, over the years, for the past 10 years, and that's probably one of the reasons that the Blues Muse magazine over in California, they mentioned, oh, Andy Walsh is the Blues Ambassador of Israel. Well, I can try to live up to that. The reason being, of course, that for the past 10 years, I've been very busy trying to widen the blues audience in Israel by bringing the best artists from America to perform with me, to record with me. And that's been an experience in itself. So Joe Lee Walker, he's been over here for three times already. He did the cover, the title track on Blues on Fire is Joe. Yes, Joe is doing Burning Deep. Among other artists, Lucky Peterson, rest in peace, been with me here twice. We had crazy shows, amazing musician. Rest in peace, Johnny Winter, Bernard Allison, Rick Astrin, who's blowing the horn, the harp on Living Hand to Mouth. Under his AKA name, Coasting Hank, you know. he wanted us to put Coasting Hank on the album because many times they didn't want any hassle with their labels, you see. So he was undercover. So he did Living Hand to Mouth, that's Rick Astrin. Don't Take My Blues Away, that's Rick Astrin. And, of course, Kenny Neal, he was over. We had three amazing shows together. Just hit off off stage. That's the reason he ended up co-producing the album. However, if I look at Joe for Burning Deep, it's something that I had in mind for him all the time because I felt the lyrics is going to connect to him because if Joe Lloyd Walker tells me he got the blues burning deep inside of me, I believe him. And he can also refer to the lyrics that I wrote at. Unfortunately, there are many people in this world that are capable of bringing the best or the worst out of you. And that is something that you might have seen the last 12 months also around in the world. So, you know, the vocal guide had it over to Joe. I decided to fire him up by adding the horn section already here in Israel. So he went in to his studio in New York and laid down the vocals there. And I think he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is the blues scene in Israel like?
It's growing and we are just coming out actually due to the vaccination drive. I have my first show booked again 23rd of April with the whole band and just starting rolling again. However, we do have some limitations. I think we're allowed to sell 75% of the tickets at the moment. Is anybody's guess at the moment? Because I think everyone's tiptoeing out of this. We will beat this, that's without a doubt. I think the vaccination has been the game changer so far. The blues scene in Israel is growing. Obviously, I have much more response, of course, around the world, particularly in the United States and in Europe for this kind of music that I'm making because Israel, as being a melting pot and crossroads since historic times, has a different music style than what I'm doing. However, I do have a very healthy following and I have a lot of people coming to my shows.
When you do a live show, and of course you have the multiple vocalists, like who's singing for you when you're live?
I do backup vocals normally, mm-hmm. and I might go in and do some vocals on the next album, because during this COVID-19, I tried to use my time in a good sense, and I basically have a new album written. But I'm going to wait and see by my time, you know, to see if we are past this or not. You know, we'll see. What I have live is Roy Young. He's a good friend of mine since 25 years. I do have Daddy Shoshan, who is singing Straight Shooting Woman, which is, he's coming from way back from an Israeli band called the Churchillim. They were very big in Israel. They were over in the UK. They opened for Hendrix, and Queen opened for them, you see, so.
Not bad.
he has some awesome pictures from the UK and from Hamburg with those guys, you know, that's very cool. So he's coming from the psychedelic rock scene, and that suits me, because if you listen to the album, Don't You Let Me Down, it's also a song you sing, it's psychedelic, you know. And I do have Amalia Williams, another American singer, come to Israel performing with me. I do have a bass player, Ilan Hillel, singing with me. He's doing Looking for Somebody, that is a Peter Green cover from Blues on Fire. So I changed that, and that was the idea with the album too. I thought that if you have a flow of styles and you find this flow of music and you're also changing the vocalist, that makes it interesting, because after each song you wonder, what is Andy up to now? What is going to do now? Changing a bit of this, another vocalist. That's what my intention, you know, to make it very, very dynamic, you see.
So besides this latest release from you, if you were to take somebody who doesn't know the blues and kind of give them some albums as a gateway into getting used to it, what would you recommend?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Again, you know, if you're stayed with the blues, because someone said, if you believe Howlin' Wolf, he said, the blues is when you can't play your bills, the rest is music. That's what he says. And Willie Dixon says, well, my woman left me. Willie Dixon said, my woman left me, I got the blues. Then she came back, I got the blues again. So but again, I tell you, I think anyone who listens to the blues, I think that blues is something that moves you, touches you, gets you into this. I think that you can learn how to play the blues, but I think it's a big advantage if you have it in your system. If you have it in the system, you got to take it out and just take it in. I think to listen to the guys to get into it, I think from the King guys, I prefer Albert King. I think he has this, you know, this velvet bulldozer that he is. He's just huge, playing his own style, breaking the rules. I like that. He plays his guitar upside down. His strings are different tuning. Albert Collins too. I think even Curtis Mayfield, you know, which was a big influence for Hendrix. Obviously Hendrix, I say Peter Green, because of his way and his attitude, that if you listen to Peter Green and you understand how clever and tasteful he's playing and how much he's touching you, that is always a good guideline. Clapton did a lot for actually showing you guys and Rolling Stones too that the blues is American music, you know, in the 60s. You know, they helped a lot of Howlin' Wolf and other guys to get big in America. So I think Cream is something I would listen to. I listen to Canned Heat. I listen to John Lee Hooker and Canned Heat and Hooker, that double album, you know, Yoss After Alan Wilson Pass. That's this huge album. I would recommend that, you know. Hooker and Heat, that's a big album with John Lee Hooker. I love John Lee Hooker because he shows you can take a guitar and just groove it out. Boom. His attitude goes a long way, you know.
Nobody's cooler than John Lee Hooker. Nobody, ever.
Nobody. Nobody. But if you look at the rest of the music, there are many artists that are today are passing on. And I think one guy that maybe got a lot of critics, I seen him once, and I think he's done a lot for reviving the blues, not the way that Stevie Ray did in the 80s, but Joe Bonamassa has taken these his guitars. He put it on. He got it. He's getting a lot of heat for that as he's showing off. But I think that Joe, with his new label, also giving a lot of artists the chance to do his Joanne Connor. He gave her now just produced her album, and Kenny Neal just sent me and a message that he is working with Joe on one of his artists on the album. So he's all over. I think a lot of new artists coming, which is good news for the blues, you know?
So when you're creating an album like you did, where you have five covers and five of your own, how difficult is it to do the sequencing to make sure that the listen from the beginning to end is perfect?
Now, you got to have faith, you know? You got to play. When you play with self-confidence, that's important, because when you go up on the station, you're wondering what you're going to play, then you're not in the zone. When you go up and just play, it's not going to be perfect. No one is perfect. Mm. You see, as Miles Davis said, there's no such a thing as a wrong note. It's what are you doing after that? You know, what's the next one? You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. So when you go up in the studio, you got to believe. If you believe when you play and pick up a guitar, if you believe we're in the studio, you're the halfway there. If you don't believe, then you're in a difficult seat. You know, then you have to dig yourself out of a hole. But when you're listening to the music, I listen more to the attitude. For me, attitude is important. When I listen to the songs, how I want to sequence them, I listen to the attitude of the song, not to overplay. And if I give an example where I did just let go and using normally in the studio the first, the second, or the third take, I don't do more than three takes normally, because after that, you start listening to the mistakes you did in previous takes. And you mentioned before Straight Shooter Woman. In the Straight Shooter Woman, that actually was Joe Louis Walker idea. He said, America, you know, we love guitar. Play your guitar, son. So that's what I did. And that's for one and a half, almost just one take. That is us playing in the studio, just playing. And we didn't touch it. It's one take. And for some mysterious reason, we all looked upon each other in the end of the song, like 15 seconds from the end, and we all realized we're going to end it, and we ended it. So those are the moments you're looking for in the studio.
That's very cool.
Is it then, like, because I know we've talked to a lot of guitarists, and in some cases, I mean, I think their natural inclination is to overplay with the notes. Now, is that your natural inclination, or do you think about it before and kind of try to use that Peter Green style?
When I was a bit younger, then I always thought, I was worried that you have to squeeze in every note in every scale. Now I try to avoid that and try to focus more to have that note. That note, that's what's going to hit you. That note you're going to remember. That sound you're going to remember. You're not going to be able to recreate, if I play you 50 notes in 10 seconds, you're not going to remember them. But you're going to remember if I play a bit slower and emphasize on it. I can do some fast licks later on. You can do that if it suits. But you got to find those big notes somewhere in between. The big ones. And I tried on this album to find a way that I didn't overplay and that you played in time and little backbeat and played cool and try to find balance to the other instruments. Because I think when you listen to a guitar-oriented album, the most difficult things is that it's not going to repeat yourself all the time. When you give space, I have the same attitude when we do live shows. I try not to conquer the audience. I try to pull them to me so that you're leaving them, that you're not happy when you're shutting down your amplifier, but they're looking forward to see you again next time.
Is one of the advantages of playing the blues the fact that you get to improvise a lot in your solos and things like that?
Oh, man, thanks for saying that. Yeah, man. I don't think I would be someone that you would hire as sitting in a studio putting charts in front of me to be a session player. No, I couldn't do that. I think this is one of the things that I'm probably always love the blues, because you can play every song different every time. You know, it's not a standard format, it's a free format, and you do whatever suits you, you know? Whatever comes in your mind at that time, that's what you play. Yeah, without a doubt.
Now, have you traveled across to the U.S. and Memphis and kind of hung out in the home of the blues, like some of the birthplaces of the blues?
That is something that is in my bucket list. I've been to, of course, a few times already in America to tour and played in America, mainly East Coast, Maine, Massachusetts, Georgia, South Carolina, Atlanta, Savannah, Texas, all these places. But no, I haven't made it to Memphis or to Ground Zero down in Mississippi.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You've managed to go entirely around it, just not quite there yet.
Yeah, maybe I wasn't ready to hit Ground Zero yet, you know. But however, I had a great experience with John Winter when I was in the drop. And we were hanging a pre-show, and he blessed my Les Paul with Lifetime Mojo. And what was great was to have him, you know, the whole afternoon we were hanging, playing guitars, and he was telling me about the blues scene and how it all was. And it was, you know, he was very, very generous with himself and very honest. We were just sitting and chilling and playing, and it was amazing. So, yeah, he told me some good blues stories. Anyhow, every one of all the blues guys that I've been bringing over the years, we have had such a good hang and such a good time, so many blues stories. And part of the blues experience coming to Israel and play with me, and it's a suffer me for three shows, you know, that's a starter. But to round it off, we always go for some spirituality up to Jerusalem, which is about 2,500 feet above sea level. And that is always a very specific moment for the artists when we go up to Jerusalem together.
So what makes the Les Paul such a great guitar?
Ooh, it's funny you say that. Many times, the first time I played with Joe used to have a lot of vintage guitars, his chains, he played everything. And what I love with Joe Lloyd Walker, is that he have also, you cannot put him in a box. He does gospels, he stopped the blues for some time, gospel, rock and roll, everything. He lived together with Michael Bloomfield, as you know, in San Francisco. Michael Bloomfield is one of the big Les Paul sounds guys that are. And when we met the first time, he said, "Andy, I see you're playing Gibson." I said, "Yeah, I'll tell you something. Fender is good, but only real blues guys play Gibson. You know that?" I said, "Well, I don't know that. That sounds good to me." "I don't know. I play Fenders too, but the Les Paul is something. I don't say it's like a woman, because many people used to have female names to the guitar for some reason, but it's a different animal. You just have to know how to treat it to get that woman tone, you can say, a Clapton said, or that intimacy in the sound. It has a very long sustain. The challenge with a Les Paul is it's very easy to get that overdriven rock sound, but to get it the clean sound and the defined sound and that singing woody sound, that always the challenge. And it is my weapon of choice. I would say that 80 to 85% of the songs I'm playing live, I do play with old 50s Les Paul. I have some old Les Pauls, and those are phenomenal guitars, you know, amazing.
How many guitars do you have?
I don't know if my wife listening now. No.
Too many, you're saying.
I used to tell my wife, listen, honey, one wife is enough. One guitar is not enough. That's just how it is. What I got, plenty. I got, look, the guitar finds you. The guitar finds you. And you should understand, once you understand that they're all vintage guitars, you never own them. You are the caretaker. You have the privilege to play these guitars. And all my guitars, I'm just standing in front of them now, a couple of them. I don't have them in the cases most of the time because I like to look at them. It's a piece of art, you know, and they only want to get played. So that's what I'm doing with my guitar. I'm playing them. I do have, of course, a lot of Strats. I have a lot of old Strats. I love them. I use them for particular things. If you do Stevie, if you do Hendrix, you know, you got to do a Strat. I got Telecasters. I have a nice old 335, EF-335, which is a good blues machine. And, of course, I have my Les Pauls. But if I go to a regular show, I normally bring one or two Les Pauls and a Strat as a backup. That's normally my life set. One Strat and two Les Pauls.
Nice. Well, Andy, I know that we're about to run out of our time with you here. So I know we've had a great time. We want to give you the chance to tell all the folks where they can find Super Groove and how they can keep up with you.
Right. First of all, thank you for having me. You guys are so important to spreading the music for all the artists out. That's great. We had a good blues cruise. Now, regarding Supergroup, that is released on Wistone label, and then be so kind to have set up a link on my website, which is www.andywatsguitarslinger.com. So if you go to my website, there is a link. You can click on it, and you can listen to the whole album. You have all the applications, if it's Apple or Breezer, all the things that are there, and Spotify. You can also order it as a CD, whatever suits you. I am on Facebook, Andy Watts Guitar Slinger, and there's a lot of videos from the album on the website or on YouTube.
That's right. Lots of ways to listen to your music, and it's fantastic. And I urge everybody to go out and have a listen, because I really enjoyed it. I've listened to it several times now, and I just totally grooved to the album. So, Andy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I wish you all to stay safe, and that we will roll on with our life. Everything will move on as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all the best, Andy. And we look forward to hearing more from you and hopefully seeing you live someday.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Bye for now.
All right. Bye now.